Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the Coach's Playbook Podcast. I've had a lot of positive feedback from coaches who love learning and growing the game. I hope everyone can take away something and take back to their program to give our kids the best experience they can have. Today we are joined by Coach Rochelle Turner from Murray State University. Coach Turner was able to transition from high school head coach to college head coach after continued long-term success at Murray High School. She covers specific ways to improve players' basketball IQ, ways to motivate athletes in all phases of being a student athlete, and much, much more. On today's show, we have Murray State women's basketball head coach Rochelle Turner to talk about the difference in coaching at the high school and collegiate level and finding a balance of running sets and a continuity offense. Coach Turner is one of the top 25 all-time win leaders in the history of girls basketball in the state of Kentucky, and we are lucky to have her on. Coach Turner, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you having me, Wyatt.
You know, when I was looking up, I knew you were awfully high on that list of all-time wins. And I mean, it's just, you know, to see the names that you're up there with, I mean, it's a special thing. And I don't think you probably get your credit sometimes, maybe just because being in Western Kentucky. But when I look at those names on the list, you're right there with them, right where you belong.
Well, I appreciate that. But as you know, I mean, it's all about being blessed with great players and great assistant coaches over the years. I had too many to name, but an awesome administration at Murray High School, support from everyone involved. But it all goes back to players make plays. So I just had the fortunate blessing of just having one great player after another and just still enjoy those relationships today. And appreciate everyone that played a part in that success.
Well, you don't sell yourself short either. You know, following, being able to follow after you, you get an inside look. You know, people can hide a lot of skeletons, or there's some things that, you know, people can hide well about their program, and it may look good on the outside, and you don't really know what's there until you get in. And, you know, what I found was there was just a bunch of really good kids who knew how to work really hard, you know, that just were committed to winning, committed to being unselfish. And, you know, you left it impossible to not succeed. And so, you know, I think, you know, we'll talk about a little culture stuff today because I think it's that important. But, you know, that's something that you did that, you know, there's a reason that, you know, they've won there for a long time and will probably continue to win for a long time.
Well, I tell you, when one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make was leaving there. And one of the things that was on my heart that I spent a lot of time praying about was who was going to take over next, who was going to be there for those kids and continue to build the program that you know, I put so much time into. And I tell you, it was such a blessing when you came along and just continued the tradition from the moment you stepped on the campus. And I can't thank you enough for everything you did to continue that and, you know, win a state championship with those kids their senior year. And it like I said, it just the relationship that you and I have is a special bond that, you know, came together and formed due to you being able to take that position and continue to raise the level of their game.
Well, I appreciate that. And then, you know, and then now look who we left it with. No, I'm just kidding. That's my brother. For anyone listening.
No, he's doing well. He's doing well. But I tell you, you're the type of act to follow as comes. So he had big shoes to fill as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to see him and watch him grow. And it's just been a great experience all around. So you coached the high school level for a long time before moving to the college ranks. You know, now that you're on the other side, what do you find to be the place that incoming freshmen struggle with the most as far as adapting to the college game? You know, is it film, weights, their skill set, et cetera?
Well, obviously speed of the game and physicality are something that comes directly to mind when you start thinking about that. But the thing I've probably been most surprised with is the lack of basketball IQ that comes along with some of the freshmen. And I think it's a two-way street. I think players these days, young women, do not watch and study basketball as much as we used to. They don't watch the NBA or WNBA or other college basketball teams like we used to sit around and watch those all the time, at least my generation going through. And so the IQ is not as high. And I also think that it also depends on who they play for in high school. I mean, we actually have had some players in the few years that I've been here at Murray State that have never played man defense. That just wasn't what their coach did. They were a zone team. They were a zone coach. So the IQ and terminology of man defense was something that was foreign to them. So that's probably the thing that I feel like is lacking most, is the kids' ability to understand the game and how to play the game. And I think that, like I said, that comes from, that's on them for not studying and watching the game as much as they should, but also depends on which program they come through.
Okay, so, you know, that's a very, you know, I think talking basketball IQ, I think that's one area that, you know, very specifically, you know, how can a coach work on that? So how can I, as the high school coach, improve my kids' basketball IQ?
Well, I think film work is a great way to do that. I mean, spending individual time with each player and helping them learn and grow based on actual evidence. I mean, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. We tell our players that all the time, because you can't hide from film. I think that that's one way that you can help grow the game in young women, is showing them that, but also maybe showing them film of other people that they could emulate. Oh, yeah. Because we all have heroes. We all have people we look up to. Everybody wants to be Sabrina. So maybe watch some film of her and see the intangibles that she does. We're not all going to be able to score as many points or get as many rebounds or assists that she does, but she does some intangible things that could really raise the level of these young ladies' games, and also their IQ, by even just listening to interviews with her and things like that, and hearing what she says about the game and what's important to know.
That's great. You know, I show a lot of film on ourselves and our opponents, but, you know, I don't know that I've spent the time to find those guys that they really look up to, you know, and maybe catch, you know, I think, you know, a lot of these things are better caught than taught. And so for them to actually see it in action, and, you know, whether it's, you know, even stuff like boxing out, like, oh, you know, you love, you know, this player. Well, here's, you know, three edits of them, you know, three possessions in a row, not missing a box out assignment, you know, and just a bunch of different things like that. So I really like that.
There's just so much technology out there now where you can cut and splice film and things like that, that I think we need to utilize that more.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I think I'll definitely take that with me, and I'm sure others will. You know, your guys' program is a great follow on Twitter. You know, all the insight that you give into your program and what your culture is all about, I think that's great. You know, I think people are more and more willing to put that out there and willing to share things, some inside looks of the program. But I also think coaches are becoming more and more aware of how important intentional culture stuff is. And I always use the word intentional when I use the word culture, because, you know, culture is going to happen. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be things that happen in the locker room. I mean, when you're just not there, and your culture will dictate what's accepted, what goes on when you're not in that locker room. You know, so can you give some of those specific things that you try to establish with your culture?
Yeah, intentional is an outstanding word, and that's something that we talk to our staff, coaching staff, and even our players about on a regular basis. Is, I mean, you, everybody, like you said, there's going to be culture. There's going to be good culture. There's going to be bad culture. And culture has to be established. And we establish we over me equals champs mentality with our culture. But the thing about that is it's one thing to put it up all over your locker room. It's another thing to say it. You have to make sure that you teach what you want your culture to be, because what character means to one player may not mean to another. What selflessness means to one may not mean to the other. So I think that sometimes we overlook the fact that we actually have to teach these specific things that we mean by what we want our culture to be. And even though we can't put every word in your culture, but, you know, trust, loyalty, integrity, no excuses, and being intentional in your actions are things that go along with our we over me. And so we do different things, maybe even in practice or throughout the week, to make sure that we are continuously making it obvious that culture is one of the number one things that we're going to stress. So yeah, we'll do horseshoes during the week, each week, one week might be character and one week might be hard work. But what we do is it's not just necessarily what they do between the lines. It's we pay attention to what they're doing outside of basketball. We may have a player that's come and said, hey, just wanted to let you know the other night I needed something from Walmart and you know I don't have a car. And so-and-so picked me up and took me to Walmart and helped me get that. And I just, coach, I just wanted you to know that I really appreciated it. Well, we're going to point those things out. And we can do that with our horseshoes throughout the week. So I think that it's vital not to just focus all the time on what's going on in practice, but maybe focus on the culture things that you're seeing in the locker room or at the dorm or the apartment or just outside of basketball.
I think that's awesome. You know, I think some people have a connotation. So kind of talking about your you know, the horseshoe thing, I think some people feel like, you know, some of the culture stuff that people do is, you know, I don't know if my players really buy into that. I don't know if my players really get into that. And I can say firsthand, I was at practice when you gave one out and how excited the kids are to get it, you know, to get that recognition, to get that. It meant a lot to that kid that won that. And so it really does matter. I don't think you can do too much. I mean, there's a point, it gets to a point, but, you know, so you've got your pillars that your program is based on. And then, you know, you have a weekly thing. Do you on, you know, at the beginning of the week, you say, hey, this is hard work week. At the end of the week, you know, the kid who works the hardest, you know, or is it, all right, at the end of the week, you know, this was what we were watching, this is what we're awarding, and this is, you know, how do you do that?
We usually go in order. I mean, we spell out champs normally, and we usually do that. But if we have something that happens that's really good, or we really want to spotlight something that one of our players has done, I mean, we may give out more than one. We may switch it around. And it's also an opportunity to highlight maybe not just the best players all the time, because I think culture, it is from top to bottom. And so the kids that maybe don't play as much still have to buy into that culture. So you try to look for ways to include them in that as we go. But normally we kind of go in order with it, but we have been known to go out of order, like I said, to make sure that we emphasize something that's happened. And that's something that we do through practice. But, I mean, we do so much more. Once a week we have what's called a character coach come in, and he's a youth pastor at one of the local churches here, former Murray State men's player. And he comes in 15 minutes a week and he talks about our culture words in different ways. It's a different voice. It's a different definition maybe of a way to think about how you can have these qualities. And that's been really big for us. It's something I did at the high school level. We've continued to do here. And I think sometimes players hear the coaches so much that it just sounds like the same noise going through their ears. But when somebody else and somebody they respect comes in and talks about these things in different ways in related words to our culture, that I think that's a big thing. We also do what's called culture connection. And that's when one of the coaches on our coaching staff does about a 15-minute activity of some kind, usually related to whatever book we're reading that year. We don't give the kids books to read. We take chapters or whatever each week as coaches and present that material to them. This past year, we did Why the Best Are the Best, 25 power words. It was outstanding, and we related those words to our culture. And you could hear the players at times using that vocabulary and using that words when we were talking about different things. So you just got to make sure that you teach it. Don't expect it if you haven't taught them what it means. Don't expect them to be at that expectation level or buy into that culture if you don't spend time with it. And we also, one thing that got us some publicity this year was we have you have to give credit to the passer. If someone passes you the basketball, you have to give them credit. You have to acknowledge them. And that's something that we teach from day one. And I mean, it's something that is done in practice every single day. It becomes second nature to these kids because it's something that we stress. And it is just a small gesture to say, hey, thank you. Thank you for that pass. You helped me get that 2 points or that 3 points. And so we do, like I said, it's on the court, off the court, but it is an everyday thing. If you have to feed your culture just and work just as hard as it as you do on your practice plan each day, it has to be a part of your everyday life to try to withstand and build on what you're trying to do.
I think that's great, Coach. I think those are, you know, those are all very specific things. You know, I'm big on vocabulary and verbiage and, you know, being intentional about even the language we use. And one thing that I always find, you know, if you want to know where your culture is, you know, listen to your players. You know, are they echoing some of the things that you're talking about? Are they using some of the phrases that you use? You know, do they know the pillars of your program, like the back of their hand, and, you know, do they believe it? Are they seeing you do it, you know, and pointing that out? I think all that stuff, and it's a good culture check. And, you know, somebody told me once, if you want to know, you know, you want to know about the program, ask the eighth kid in the rotation and the one at the end of the bench. And you might get, you know, you don't know what you'll get, but, you know, hopefully it'll be, you'll hear the same things that, you know, you talk about as a coach and program, you know, like culture wise. So I think that's great. With those horseshoes, and do they get, you know, is there anything they get, or, you know, like, hey, this gets you out of a sprint, this, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, we have done different things. One year they could cash it in to the gear, to our coach that does gear, and they could get something extra. One thing that we incorporated starting last year is we divide our team into teams at the beginning of the year, and they have a certain expectation of amount of points they can get. So you can have an overall winner, but every team can win. And I mean, that's based on from academics. You get so many points if you get an A in class, so many points if you do community service, so many points for extra workouts. There's all these criteria that you have as a team that you're working toward to get a total number of points. Well, because we were doing that last year, we put a point total with our horseshoes. So if you won the character horseshoe for the week, you got your team X amount of points in our system, right, moving you guys up. And then at the end of the year, when the last grade comes in at the end of the semester, because we put academics, culture, performance, everything in there, and then whichever teams have gotten to that point total will get, like, you know, maybe a pair of shoes or something. I mean, there's some kind of reward that they're working for all year, but it also helps with accountability, because if you see that there's one person on your 3 or 4 person team that's not pulling their weight, then that's when that's player led accountability. Hey, we need you to get more points, get more workouts. Hey, try to get an A in this class this semester, things like that. So it all builds together and it all runs together to try to incorporate as much as you can into one thing. So this year, that's how we did our horseshoes. We gave them points towards that total.
That's awesome. I've never heard that. And, you know, I think it's good stuff, Coach. Everything you've mentioned are things that we can do at the high school level. And we can absolutely do any of these things. And, you know, I hope, and the idea behind all of this is that we can, you know, take things back to our program that make us better. And, you know, that's really great. So, you know, you've been around the game, you know, shifting gears a little bit, but you've been around the game enough to know that each team, each game, and each season is different, you know, and what can make a successful, what can make a team successful. You know, it's not a wide open formula, but what have you found to be the best balance between running plays and kind of just running your continuity offense or whatever flow offense you run?
Well, I'm different than most coaches. I'm not a system coach. I never have been. So therefore, my offense usually is determined by the strengths of my players from year in, year out. So 1 year to the next, we can look totally different depending on the personnel that we have. But I do love sets. Anybody that's played for me knows that I love sets, mostly probably because I like to be able to manipulate as much as possible where my players catch the ball offensively. Mostly to ensure that they are given opportunities to play to their strengths. I do continuity out of transition, I think, is something that's necessary to try to get into early offense quickly. And with the shot clock at this level, it's imperative to have a plan, you know, and a purpose for how the best to score the basketball. My philosophy is if I never have to call an offense throughout the game, that's the best option of them all. Play fast and allow your players to make plays. But we have a little bit of both. We always have some continuity that we can run and put people in positions that we feel like is best for them. But there are going to be specific times. A lot of times, especially with the shot clock, dictates so many things. And then on an offensive rebound, now it goes back to 20 instead of 30. So sometimes getting into continuity and being able to turn it over until you get your best shot is not always the best option. So we do a little bit of both, but I'm a sets person just strictly because of, like I said, the manipulation of knowing that your players are going to be at their best offensively when you put them in their positions that they are most comfortable with. And you allow them to use their strengths to score the basketball.
You know, I think there's I think almost all high school coaches have, you know, at least a couple sets. Others have a ton, and it's just kind of everywhere, you know, everywhere on the spectrum. But, you know, one thing that I really like about your sets and the stuff that you do in your offense is the layers are really good. You know, you can come down, you know, you can run something one time down and, you know, I've seen you guys once you feel like somebody is starting to catch on, your stuff has a counter. So a lot of your plays have those counters and those layers. You know, that's one thing I think you see a lot more at the collegiate level than you do at the high school level. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And we call them families. So like we may have four different plays with counters out of a 1-4 set or any kind of set that you name. I mean, we do things like Kentucky and then Wildcats. That'll be the counter for it. Oregon Ducks, you know, Murray State. I mean, things like that. So it puts your players in a position and especially scouting wise that you're in the same formations, but the players know the reads and the counters that we're making determine on the call. And I think that is something that has done a lot from scouting at the high school level and then scouting at this level. You're going to see a lot of the same formations, but there's so many different reads and so many different options off of them. Whereas I think maybe, I don't know why, I don't know because of the talent level of the players or whatever, but in high school, we pretty much just had different sets for what we wanted on that play. Want to get the ball inside, we're going to run this. Want to try to get a three, we're going to run this. Want to try to take somebody isolated, we're going to run this. So I definitely think that the sets and then ball screen offense is like something that didn't really exist several years ago when I was coaching, but now it's the thing to do. The dribble drive is the thing to do. So I think it just depends on the coach and depends on their personnel and what they're trying to do offensively. But I do think that you see a whole lot of sets in college.
I love going back to this. I by the end of this podcast, I'm going to figure out the answer, but Why do you think ball screen offense is so rare at the high school level?
You know, I can't remember. I tried to think back once I got here and started doing some investigating into what people were running and watching different coaches and different film at the college level. And I don't remember teaching ball screen defense other than maybe just a little bit at the high school level, because it wasn't something that really was necessary. Now we discussed it and talked about it, but I mean, we spend so much time in our practices now on ball screen defense. That is one of the biggest things that we do, because almost everybody's offense either begins with a ball screen or there's a ball screen coming at all times. And so the different reads and the different ball screen defenses that we try to put in to keep people off balance. So I think it's just whatever the fad is at the time. I mean, when Calipari came out with dribble drive, everybody wanted to run dribble drive, and I'm not sure who gets the credit for ball screen offense, but it's something that's really prevalent right now. And I think that it's just like everything else, just goes with whatever is popular at the time.
Well, you know, it's we run it, and you know, I just when your kids start to really get the reads, you know, it's an easy way to make two people guard one. And, you know, if your kids can make the reads, then, you know, I think it's a great change of pace offense. It really surprised me that, like you said, even still with ball screen defense, you know, we say, all right, we'll trap it or we'll get under it. I mean, it's, you know, we don't have to spend a whole bunch of practice time, you know, once your kids know the rotation. I mean, it just, you just don't have to work on it much because you don't see it much. But, you know, I think anybody that watches college knows that that is, I mean, that is the offense. So it's just interesting to me. If you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think I'd have to go be where your feet are, and don't miss out on the moments because you're preoccupied with what's next. The older I get, the more I wish I'd have maybe stopped and appreciated and celebrated the wins more, no matter how small or how big they were, instead of always thinking, what's next? What have I got to do next to prove myself as a coach? Or what have I got to do next to get this next year's team to that same level? I think that's probably with age, that maybe slow down a little bit. And like I said, be where your feet are. Enjoy the moment, whether it's tough or not. I mean, you know, you go from having so much success in one position and going to another position and knowing that you're in the process of building a program. And sometimes that process isn't easy. And maybe you have to realize that there's just going to be a lot of valleys that you have to work through until you can get to the peak. And sometimes I think, you know, I wish I'd have stopped and really appreciated those moments more.
That's awesome. I mean, that's, you know, it helps me reflect, helps me put things into perspective, as I'm sure it does everybody. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Especially, you know, when you have those teams, those once in a, you know, what you may think is once in a lifetime, or you think is, you know, once in your school's history, you know, this is the best team we've ever had. I think sometimes you end up enjoying that the least because how much you focus on the destination and you put that pressure on yourself. If we don't do it this year, if we don't, instead of saying, hey, this might be the best year in school history, let's really go and enjoy all of it. And I've been there, and, you know, it's, you know, I know you have. So if somebody can take that away from this, that may be the biggest thing they take away from anything. So I appreciate that input.
Well, I think sometimes we get so caught up in the wins and losses, and we get so caught up with, did we win the region? Did we get to where we wanted to in the state tournament and stuff? And I mean, just like players that win player of the year and things like that, I mean, those are going to be based on stats, and coaches of the year are going to be because their teams got them to a state championship or whatever. But another thing that I've realized when I really take a look at the teams of the past and present, I think some people don't give themselves enough credit that some of their best coaching jobs were when they weren't very good, getting the most out of the kids that they had during that time, especially at the high school level. You get what you get. I mean, they filter through your school system, and that's what you have. So I think some people are a little bit harder on themselves than they should be, because I can honestly say, some of the years that I felt like our staff has done the best was when we weren't as talented. So I think you got to focus on what you have and how can you get the most out of that particular team. And if you reach those goals, even though they may not be a championship or something like we all strive for, I think you still have to put those things in perspective.
That's good stuff. All right, Coach, moving on to the last segment. I'm going to throw the full court press on you. You're going to have 10 seconds or less to answer a series of questions. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What site was the best venue for the state tournament?
Well, for me, it was Northern Kentucky, because that was some of the best games that we had for sure. But I do believe Rupp Arena is a great venue and opportunity to grow the game of girls basketball.
All right. Does high school need a shot clock?
Yes.
Should the state tournament be seeded?
No, I don't believe so. I think some of the excitement of it is the blind draw and being able to for there to be upsets and those things.
Favorite high school gym to coach in aside from your own?
Oh, I'd have to say Marshall County. Obviously, that's my alma mater.
Who did you hate coaching against the most when you were in high school?
Howard Beth, for sure, especially in the early years, because I felt like he knew everything I was going to do because I tried to emulate the things that, he taught me.
Great. And what's the best Mexican restaurant in Murray?
Oh, that's tough. Los Portales.
All right. That one can get you in trouble. So I appreciate it, Coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for joining the show. And everybody's going to take a whole lot from what you brought for us. Thank you.
I appreciate you doing this. I've listened to every one of them, and I've got a notepad. I'm taking notes each and every time. So this is really a valuable tool for all of us. So really appreciate you taking the time to do it.
All right. Thanks again.
After my conversation with Coach Turner, I reached out to get her template on how they score their student-athlete point sheet, and she will gladly share with any of you. Feel free to reach out to her or myself to pick that up. On Thursday, Coach Tim Riley joins the show to talk about the secret sauce to getting your team to win and overachieve. Until then, keep getting better.